Welcome back, Rock Movers. This is season 6, and it is all about the boys. We've got some amazing guests, so if you're ready, let's start moving some rocks. Welcome back, Rock Movers. Today we have a lovely human soul who is going to be sharing with us about his journey through a cancer diagnosis, change of lifestyle, and someone who now has radically changed his life and is giving back. And his mission and passion is to share his story, to inspire and help others to do the same. So welcome, welcome, welcome to the Rock Movers, George Cordoba.
Thank you, Karen. I appreciate your invitation. I'm honored to be here with you and to share with your audience.
Well, we are looking forward to this conversation today because of all the rocks in the world, the rock of having disease or having health problems is one of those that is the heaviest and the probably the most difficult for many people to navigate, to move, and to overcome. So tell our listeners a little bit about your journey, how this all came to be, and then what you've done with it. So, well, we'll start there, and then I'll ask some questions, and we'll get into what you're doing with it now.
Okay, and feel free to stop me. I love to share my story. Yeah. But
I'll pop in if I have questions.
Yeah, and by the way, again, I've been cancer-free actually now for 12 years, 12 years in July, but this whole thing started 19 years ago. Wow. I was diagnosed with malignant melanoma. It was pretty advanced at the time. And I fought the disease for 10 years, and I had 10 surgeries. I had mets in my brain of 8 tumors. I had 4 operations, brain surgeries, craniotomies, and 2 gamma knives when it came to my, let's say, my brain. Obviously, I had other operations around both sides of my neck. And again, it was 10 years and 10 surgeries. But on year 8, when I had my first craniotomy, which went from ear to ear, you can see it, but
we can't see the scars right now.
Yeah, it really healed well. They gave me this new chemotherapy that was on capsules that they say they finally basically penetrated the brain. The brain is very, very protective for anything that is toxic. So I guess they found out how to do it. And so I said yes. Everybody, the mind goes to what is familiar. So I just from the very get-go when I was diagnosed, I went to an oncologist. But so after the craniotomy, I started taking this about, it was maybe 3 weeks after the surgery. And really, I felt like it was just destroying me. I mean, every time I had one of those capsules, it was more potent than the other chemo I received for almost 8 years. So when I finished that first week, it was one capsule a day for 5 days, and then 5 days, then another, a week rest. On my second cycle, after the first one, I just said, no way, this is just, I'm not going to take this anymore.
And what did you do instead?
Well, at that moment, I'm a person of faith. I love to, I meditate. I nourish myself. I was an athlete, so I had a lot of stuff that I was using, visualization, etc. But after lots of prayer and meditation, during that week, I talked to my wife and I said, and she's was in the medical industry, but she said, are you sure? I'm not sure, you're doing good. I said, well, you say I'm doing good, but this is year 8 and it's just the same thing. And this is actually even making me feel worse. So she helped me decide. And so I went and talked to my oncologist and said, look, you know, I'm going to stop doing all this conventional stuff, but I would appreciate if you continue to do follow-ups for me, scans and stuff that were scheduled already for the year and so forth. So he agreed. And many oncologists don't. Some of my clients have had not the same experience. They will get something, they will hear something like, well, if you stop, I cannot have you as a patient, you know, so they have to find another doctor. But he agreed. And on year 8, after my first 4 craniotomies, I decided to go natural. I went the holistic health route, health journey. Mm-hmm. Right. The first thing I did was going to a naturopath. When I made that decision, by the way, Karen, it's almost like God, the universe, started to conspire for me. I used to call it, I'm going to go to God's pharmacy, the natural stuff that is out there. And so I started to really research Chinese medicine, a bunch of stuff. But since I did nutrition and also in college, I did a minor. I'm an engineer. I was in my previous life. 7 years ago, I made the transition to going to health, holistic health coaching. But anyway, everything started to really come to me. I mean, I was taking action. Faith without action is dead, by the way. So I understood that. And so, you know, I took responsibility for what, you know, I never played victim or gave my power to the doctors. And that's really something that I would recommend people right off the bat. Do not give your power to the doctors. You are you. He's an employee and he's trying, or she's trying to help you out. Great. But you have so, the go ahead.
Yeah. So what were the questions that you would ask them? So, cause you say take back your power and you have to be your own advocate. What questions did you ask? Like, what was really the best way for you to know what questions? Because sometimes in that place, you're just trusting them because you don't know. So how do you educate yourself? What's the best resource to educate yourself so you know what questions to ask?
To the oncologist?
Right, to the doctors, before yeah.
This is in the beginning. Yes, I didn't have that. I was one of 99.9% of the population in the world that my mind was, especially in my case, I'm half Greek and my Greek side of the family, pretty much from my grandfather, grandmother, my mother, 3 weeks before I was diagnosed, aunts and, you know, my godfather. Everybody have died of cancer, so I thought I was doomed. I mean, this stomach was going to hit me. But I didn't have those questions. I do now. I have a questionnaire that a colleague of mine, he put it together, and he offered for me to have it for my clients. Because most of my clients, by the way, only 3 in 7 years decided to go all the way natural. Because it's just what you think you know. It's got to be this way or no way. And that's a big mistake. But the rest of my clients, they agree to say, okay, look, I teach them how to see that chemo or whatever they're receiving immunotherapy as a weapon. It's really destroying the bad cells. And so to protect the good cells, there's alternative stuff that we can do. And so they do that. And occasionally what happens is they reduce the chemo because they're doing so well. And little by little, they get the confidence to say, you know what? Now that it's clear, my tests are clear, scans and stuff, I'm going to tell them that I'll stop because I'm cancer free. But they play with our mind. Unfortunately, they say you're in remission. We recommend you keep going in case it comes back, many things. But I do have a questionnaire that is really key to ask when you go, you know, this guy's your employee. Plus, you want, there's many oncologists. So you could ask these questions. For example, one of them is, doctor, the stuff that you're going to give me, the type of chemo you're going to give me, can I talk to somebody that has been 5 years, cancer-free or in remission, that they call it. Because they tell you remission, and subconsciously you think, well, it could come back. Tell them that they're healed. If it comes back, it came back. But don't say, oh, you're in remission. When, you know, I'm too passionate about this stuff. But that's one. Do you have anybody that has been 10 years cancer-free with this same chemo, if it's not a new one, you know? For example, another one that is very important to ask, well, some people are really, this one is, it's a little tougher, but there's a reality out there. Doctors, no matter what field, chemotherapy, you know, oncologists as well, they have a choice. They can give you different types of chemo, and they have a different price to charge the client, aka then the insurance company. So they get their chemo at a wholesale price, and then they sell it, they resell it, they mark it up. Some people are pretty kind of intimidated to ask that, but that's another question. There's 12 questions. There are different ones, surgery, and I'd be glad to share it with you, or, you know, with your audience, if they, you know, contact me. That's one of the things, if they're going through the disease or they're just recently diagnosed, even if they're going through the disease, you can ask these questions. Like I say, see him as your employee. You hired him out of, let's say, 4 or 5 options that, you know, people, friends help you, recommend it for you, you know?
So I love that idea, because they truly are there. We're hiring them. We're, you know, they're helping us as our caregiver, our care provider. But what, going through your journey, what has been the most influential thing for your health? Has it been food? Has it been mindset? Has it been faith? What has been the biggest turning point, and how do you help other people find theirs?
That's a great question, and a heavy one. Yes.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't have a coach. I wish I had a coach that knew what I know today. And I've been doing it for 7 years, but I started my stuff about 12 years ago, becoming a Reiki master and then nutritionist, and, you know, got all my diplomas, including last year, hypnotherapy. But holistic, when I heard the word holistic, I started really researching, and it turns out that we're not just a physical body. We have emotions, we have a mindset, a mental body, and our spiritual body. So the key point for me, and this is after I decided to go natural, it was the emotional aspect. You know, recurrence keep coming, and unless you really find the root cause of why, you know, that got you ill. And for me, it was emotional. And last year, at my dermatologist, she also told me, I said that I had an 18-year-old client, kid, that had mets in the brain of melanoma. And the guy did not even, I mean, he probably lacked of vitamin D, because he would not go to the sun, very introvert, you know, playing games or whatever. But she told me that they found that also melanoma, skin cancer, is emotional. So all disease is emotional. I did not know that, but I did know, reading about forgiveness, that I had to work on my emotional side. And once I say to people, I'm sorry, and I also, you know, so basically I ask for forgiveness, but you have to forgive others, which is harder. Right. And then you have to forgive yourself. I worked on that, and it wasn't right away. It was a process. Maybe it was a couple months, because I really just dug inside and see what really was affecting me. That was the biggest component. Obviously, because of my competitive spirit and what I did with tennis, I used to play and still play, but I was, you know, play tournaments. I tried to go professional in 1984, and that didn't work out. I hurt my knee, and I had no sponsors. It's very expensive to go on your own. But I did work a lot on my visualization, my mental visualizations. And I used that to be a better player. Maybe sometimes my dad played Davis Cups. He would come to watch me when I was a junior, and I would play really bad because I knew my dad was there. I had to overcome certain psychological things that I had were going on when I was playing tennis. And I used them. I used a few books that it was recommended to me by coaches. One is very important. Like I say, if anybody's interested in some of the details, but the key one was emotional. I did a lot of mental rehearsing, and as a person of faith, I would see this basically holistic or whole or divine ray of light coming through my head and cleaning my body up from any cancer cells. I also used the Pac-Man visualization, that game of those little creatures. And they were eating all the tumors around my body. I never really, you know, I always said after I went through the diagnosis shock, you know, my kids, we have five kids, they were kids at the time. And that gave me more anxiety and, you know, it's just, it was just really a shock. But after I went through that process, I was saying to myself is, this can't happen. You gave me the blessing of five beautiful kids. I'm doing great in my career. We have a great marriage. My wife is doing great in her career. We go take him to soccer. I teach him tennis. I was a soccer coach. I was, you know, I had doing my MBA. Everything was going great. And all of a sudden we get this I call it a financial tsunami too, because it just brought us down. I mean, 10 years battling this, it's an expensive, thing.
Yeah.
So that was the second one. And then my faith. I share this, it doesn't matter who we are because it's the same God. But I did have an experience that I actually share in my book, and that a couple of them, they were more spiritual and not religious. It was this connection, this surrendering to the source we call God and many people, the universe. And I said, look, you know, if you can give me some time so I can see my daughter. We only have one daughter and she's the baby. For her to grow up, maybe to go to high school or, you know, things that are really important for my kids to graduate from high school, to be a better person, a better dad, a better Christian. And as I was doing that, the door opened. We had just come from a doctor's appointment when they said, well, we have to do a scan because it may not be worth doing surgery. Melanoma could be everywhere right now. It was for my fourth surgery. And so my wife and I went downstairs and I said, why don't we go to the chapel? We'll meet there. I wasn't going through any chemo or anything because I was in quote unquote on remission, but I started to have symptoms. Anyway, I'm there, I'm surrendering. I cried, you know, for that, which is, it was really healing. Well, I know now that crying is you clearing, you actually basically healing your soul with crying. Mm-hmm. And men, for men, it's not too easy for many men. And I don't, you know, I never was like that because I'm half Greek and then Spanish. My dad is from Madrid, Spain. So Mediterraneans, we're very emotional. But the thing is that I'm there, I'm giving up. I surrendered. These guys are trying, the doctors, but, you know. And then all of a sudden, the door opens. I'm actually kneeling in front of the altar. The door opens, and I think it's my wife. I just got there before her. But suddenly, somebody taps my shoulder, and so I look. I felt it wasn't my wife's hand, and I look, and it was an older lady, and she said in Spanish. I was in Miami, and she told me I speak Spanish. It's my first language. Anyway, she goes, young man, can you pray for me because I have cancer? And I was saying, hey, make me a better Christian. Let me help mm-hmm. people. I used to be in those ministries, you know, playing the piano for the services and the masses. And so that was one of the first experiences that I said, well, you know, when you ask and you have an open heart, we all receive. I'm writing mm-hmm. a book about that. The miracle formula, and it's really learning to receive. If we open our hearts, many people don't receive what they ask because somehow internally, and I work with this with my clients, we don't feel worth receiving. That right. is the whole thing. When we humble ourselves and we allow this grace to come into us, things happen, miracles happen. Because if you want to give me something, Karen, from the heart, and I say, oh, no, thank you. No, don't worry. That's not the case. You need to open and say, wow, thank you so much. And you receive it with grace. A channel opens where miracles happen. So that happened there. I had two of my 8 tumors in the brain were not operable in the back, and they were growing. And so I have to share, but, you know, it's in the book if anybody's interested. The book's not a big book. But it became a bestseller.
Where can we get the book? Is it on your website?
And on the website, you can see my books. And they're in Spanish and English. And also, mm-hmm. if they go to Amazon, they look for authors and Georges Cordova, and they'll find it. So those two were not operable. And on my last craniotomy, the doctor said that he needed to operate me with local anesthesia because it was too close to my speaking area. And so anyway, things happened. I went to a prayer group, and I just feel so much healing when people impose their hands on me. And all of a sudden, when we go the next day to the pre-op for this surgery, they do an MRI of my brain with a helmet, so they can the neurosurgeon knows where to cut or where to saw. Mm-hmm. And on Thursday, the surgery day, we're waiting on the room. He comes in with a huge smile. He says, look, Mr. Cordova, we have 2 pieces of good news for you. And so my wife and I told my wife what happened the night before on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And we looked at each other. We were expecting him to say something. And he, well, which one you want first? And I said, well, they're both good. So he goes, the first one is with a conference call with other Mayo clinics. We don't have to do local anesthesia. We can put it there. It's safe. We're not going to hit the area where the motor for the cognitive speaking. And the other one is the 2 inoperable tumors in your back lobe are gone. We're going to make sure on Friday, the post-surgery, to make sure it wasn't false negative. So on Friday, they did the MRI, and the results in the afternoon was, in fact, they're gone. And so there was a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff that happened there. Some people ask me that you just said, you know, that's a miracle. Mm-hmm. And especially doctors, the doctors in the family that I have, and they say, wow. It was 19 years ago that you had your first surgery with melanoma, which is the most aggressive form of cancer. It actually beats pancreatic cancer because it's very regular. My last two of 10 surgeries were in my gluteus area. Imagine. But when you say the one thing, I think at the end of the journey within the 10 years, it was what I tell my clients, it was my working on my holistic being, my body, my emotions, my mind, and my spirituality. And that's why my protocol is 90 days, but we go a little longer. People, my clients want to continue, you know, they just change some beliefs and habits, and we reframe beliefs. We added new stuff. But I work with them every, I call them the four legs of the table. I start with the physical one, and then we go, and it takes us about 3 months. It's 12 sessions, but we do action guides and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, I coach very similarly on, you know, the whole person. I think how we do anything is how we do everything. And so if you're negative about relationships, you're going to be negative about your health and work. And it's just going to, that attitude's going to bleed over into everything. If you're fear-based, that's going to bleed over. So everything that, how we show up is, you know, just manifested and represented in every aspect of our life. And absolutely, our health, our physical health is just a representation of what's going on internally is what I believe.
And I'd like to share real quick, Karen, that
we got about 5 minutes left.
Okay, real quick.
We're getting close.
Yeah. On nutrition and dieting, when you're ill, you know, you hear people say, "Oh, go completely vegan. That's going to help you so much." Or some other people say, "Well, paleo, I'm keto." And as a nutritionist that I am, I don't believe in extremes. What I teach my clients is to create what I call a balanced pH plate. That's something that I give for free when people do discovery sessions. They're very short, 30-minute discovery session, but I send them some information that is really key. And because the whole thing is about having a balanced pH in our bodies, no dieting, learning how to manage to have your balanced pH. If there is a balanced pH, you will never get a chronic disease. If you have it, let's say cancer, and you manage to balance your pH, you're destroying the environment where these cancer cells grow. So here's one thing, for a tip for everyone. When it comes to nutrition and digestion, 25% is what you eat, and 75% is who you are when you're eating. Are you eating in a hurry? Are you chewing too fast and swallow? Are you upset about traffic, or you had some sort of argument with your boss? Whatever it was, the certain nervous system says, you know what, this digestion is not going to go well. We could talk a lot more about this, but
you mentioned that on our before we filmed and recorded this. You had mentioned that on our first talk about not just what you eat, but who you are or how you are being as you're eating it, and that just made so much sense, because I believe that's also the same with it's not what you say, right? It's how you're being when you say it. It's the same. It just makes so much sense.
It is all the same.
So if someone is listening to this and they are struggling with high cortisol, high blood pressure, inflammation in the joints and the body.
Weight,
all the things. Do you only work with cancer patients?
No.
Do you work with anyone to avoid cancer? Like, what is your person that you help?
The pretty much 40% of my clients are folks that either want to prevent recurrences or they want to prevent the disease altogether. They read my book, and in the book I said, this is not only for people who have cancer, it's for their caregivers and for anyone that wants to prevent the disease. And so, I work with everyone. I have a protocol for diabetes, and And one of the things that I do when we're working on the physical body leg is making sure this person, if they're a little overweight without dieting, they can still, they start feeling, wow, this is all about just taking action in this way. And that's why I do action guides for the week. But yeah, there's some tips that are so important for people to understand. For example, digestion starts in your mouth, not in the stomach. We have the saliva enzymes, and that's why we have to chew more. The average American chews 6 times before they swallow. So that, right there, they're already interrupting their digestion. The stomach does not know what to do with this unprocessed food. So it brings it to fat. That fat becomes acidic. And all chronic disease starts in an acidic body and inflamed tissues, all of them. I work. Actually, prevention is becoming more of my advocacy. Obviously, if you're sick and you look for me, I'll help you out. I have the tools, and you have to want to do it. But one out of two people, Karen, I think I told you when we talked first, one out of two men will have cancer in their lifetime, and one of three women will have cancer in their lifetime. So the idea is to prevent that. We have almost 48% of our nation has one or two chronic diseases. How can we do, and we all, especially nutritionists and folks that are in the holistic area and coaching, health coaching, we all know this. And we have differences. Some people say, no, go all the way, you know, vegan or this, you know. I don't agree with that. I just teach you how to maintain a pH balance. And if you do that, an oncologist will not tell you this, but if you do that little by little and you have a chronic disease, little by little, you are eliminating the environment that this disease strives to be there, grow. And so it comes to a point, I mean, I don't have any more acid in the body. They start dying. And it is, you could call it a miracle formula, but just with that one nutritional tip, you can probably fix a lot of issues with your health, and you don't have to do dieting. We were not born to be in a concentration camp nutrition-wise. You know, we have to have our good proteins, our good carbs, and our good fats.
Right.
At a percentage of those, this is the same 200 years ago. So, yeah.
Well, oh my goodness, that is so much information, so many great resources. So I've got your website now under your name. They can find your book on Amazon. Again, one more time, the book is called Beating the Odds. And you can also find George's on Facebook and LinkedIn and on Instagram. He's coach.george's. He's got a YouTube channel, all kind of resources. So please, first off, thank you for sharing all of this. Thank you for the work that you do, for inviting me. And for the great information that our guests are going to be able to catch. It'll all be in the show notes. So be sure to check those out. If you're listening to this or if you're on the road, just save this episode. You can come back and grab these great resources, because if you have any kind of health issues, you are going to want to just learn and take the avoid the health concerns so that you're not having to fight and, you know, try to recover from cancer or recover from health issues. You can just avoid them and
and prevention, which is really
prevention
key. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, thank you so much for helping us navigate this conversation and for the work that you do and for being here with us on the Rock Movers. And we just want to tell you, Rock Movers, you're going to be facing all kind of rocks. You may be facing a health rock. Just know that you don't have to face those rocks alone. That's why we have amazing guests on here, like our friend today, Mr. Cordova. Thank you so much again for being with us, and we'll see you on the next episode of the Rock Movers.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah, for sure.
Wow, wasn't today's guest amazing? I hope that you enjoyed them as much as I did, and I hope that you got something super valuable. And I also want to know, what are you getting from this? What would you like to see? What are future episodes? Who do we need to be talking to? Who has some amazing rocks that they want to share? And that's by sharing, commenting, and subscribing to the Rock Movers, and then following me over on social media. We want to stay connected. We want to be a part of your world. And I want to invite you to be a part of mine. If you'd like to book a call, go a little bit deeper into some of these topics, you can find a link to book that call on CoachKarenGray.com. You're always invited to join me there. And I can't wait to dive into deeper conversations with you. That's my way of giving back and saying thank you for being a part of our rock moving community. Until the next episode, or until we jump on the call, have a great day and keep moving those rocks.